bring a snow machine in so that people can experience snow in the wintertime. We just get it automatically. We don't have to pay for it. It just shows up here. So we'll have a snow day if we have to for Easter, but there are a lot of churches, believe it or not, they'll have a big snow day and they'll bring the snow machine in and kids try to go sledding down this thing. It's just so unreal. Just the, it almost seems wrong. Yeah. So definitely want to encourage you to sign up to be a part of that. We need everybody to kind of play some role. Not everybody has to do everything, you know, but if we're all playing a small part in that, we can have a great event. So Sarah's going to be out in the hallway to sign up for that, and it may or may be without snow, or maybe we'll be inside if we have to, but we have a plan to make that work if we have to make that work. But we're saying no snow, and we're believing no snow for March 31st. So this morning, we're doing a series, just a one-part series. It was supposed to be a two-part, but when the business meeting got shifted, ended up just kind of meshing into one-part series today. But it's called Healthy Things Grow. Now, there's this documentary that was done in 2004. You may have heard of it. It's called Supersize Me. Anybody ever hear of that documentary? So this man named Morgan Spurlock documented a month-long experiment with McDonald's. For an entire month, all he ate was food from the Golden Arches. The film takes you along his 30-day adventure. So you observe the results unfolding before your eyes as you watch the movie. You are on a journey with the McDonald's-driven life, not the purpose-driven life, not to be confused with that, but the McDonald's-driven life. 30 days of processed food, devotionals not included. So Spurlock had three rules as he did this diet. First, he had to accept supersized portions if they were offered. So if they said, "Would you like to supersize that?" he would have to say, "Yes, I will." Second, he could only eat what was available on the McDonald's menu. Nothing else could enter his body, not even a Tic Tac. So we're talking breakfast, lunch, and dinner at McDonald's. I hear the groans already. Third, he had to eat every item on the menu at least once. What were the results? He began the study by weighing 185 pounds, athletic and healthy. He did not remain so. Surprise. He gained 25 pounds in 1 month. He began to suffer from fatigue, headaches, and indigestion. His body basically fell apart over the course of his Mc diet. His blood sugar skyrocketed. His liver filled with fat. His cholesterol went off the charts. And his blood pressure was unmanageable. So this confirmed what we already knew. But seeing it in such an extreme way is alarming. The conclusion? Fast food is not healthy. It took a study to show us that, huh? You see, there is an epidemic of fast food spirituality among believers today. We want it our way, we want it fast, and we want it now. But it makes us unhealthy. It makes our faith and the things that we do unhealthy. It makes our spirituality unhealthy. We become lethargic, and our faith becomes stagnant. It stops growing. It stays where it has always been. But the one thing that we know is that healthy things grow. This is not some kind of earth-shattering revelation. We see this in babies who grow up to be children, who then grow up to be teenagers, and we understand that healthy things grow. The better the health, the better the growth is. We see this in plants and we see this in crops. A healthy plant that gets the proper water, sunlight, and nutrients in the soil grows to be a strong plant. Why? Because healthy things grow. We see this in businesses that have continuity and grow each year. Why do they grow? Because healthy things grow. Whether they can handle that growth ends up being the true measure of their health. And we also see this in our own spiritual lives. When we are spiritually healthy, when we are growing in our faith, when we are taking risks, when we're stepping outside of our comfort zones, when we're taking steps of faith, we sense that we are healthy. We're growing. Things are happening. We're energized by that. But we also sense when we're unhealthy, when we're lethargic, when we're putting on some spiritual weight. How many know when you add a little bit of weight to the body, it's a little bit harder to get around? It takes you a little bit longer. You may not run quite as fast. So it slows us down. We stop attempting great things. We stop living by faith. And we settle to just get through life. So if that's the case, how do we grow our faith? What are some things that we can do? And this is kind of getting back to basics for a lot of us. Again, nothing here is going to be earth-shattering, but it is highly important to grow in your faith. We're going to learn three important things about growing our faith from a parable in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. So if you have your Bibles, this paper book thing, one of these, or if you have an app that has a Bible in it, or you can also follow along behind me. This is my New Living Translation. There's three important things that we're going to learn. So Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29 says, Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day when he's asleep, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and it grows. But he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. So very basic this morning. How do we grow our faith? Well, the first thing is to read or listen to the Word of God. Some have audio versions. This is a Bible I bought many years ago. It's been to many different countries and nations, and it's my favorite Bible because it has a nice little bend here. So when I flip, and I've read this through many times. But one of the things that we need to do is we need to open up God's Word. We need to learn. We need to grow. We need to read daily. We need to hear from God on a daily basis. And this is how we do it, through His Word. You see, growing your faith without reading God's Word is an exercise in futility. You won't grow. You'll continue to try to grow and try to grow and try to grow and try to do and try to do and try to do, and you will not grow. I constantly meet Christians who pray and believe for God's intervention in their lives but remain frustrated with the results that they're seeing. Often it's because they are not planting seeds. They do not know, nor do they read God's Word. You see, the Bible refers to itself as a seed 44 times throughout Scripture. And in order for a seed to produce anything, it has to be planted somewhere. If you hold a seed in your hand and you continue to hold it there, it's going to net you nothing. It's just going to be a seed. Nothing else will come from that seed. But if you plant that seed, if you fertilize that seed, it will grow. You see, if we hold our Bibles in our hand and we carry it, or we keep it up on a shelf or on our dresser, we can hold it there, but what good is that going to do? We have to plant it. We have to put it somewhere. Where do we put that? If the Word of God is the seed, our heart is the soil. The Word of God is the seed, then our heart is the soil. It does no good to hold it. There's no magical power in this book just by holding it. But when we begin to open it, God begins to speak. When we open our hearts and fertilize it with prayer and say, Lord, speak to me through your Word today. What would you have me to see in this Word? Your faith begins to grow. Your faith begins to develop. You continue to understand where God is working in your life. because you're taking the time to ask and you're taking the time to read. When we consistently read God's Word, we are fertilizing that seed that has been planted and it begins to grow in us. So the seed is the Word of God and the ground is our heart. So because our hearts were created by God to bring forth fruit when His Word is planted in it. Just as a seed has to remain in the ground over time to germinate, so the Word of God has to abide in us. We prepare our hearts with prayer, and we hear from God through His Word. So the first thing, very basic this morning, if you want to grow your faith, you will not be able to do it without spending time in God's Word and allowing Him to speak to you and planting those seeds in your heart. The Word of God says in another place where David speaks and says, I have planted your seed, your Word, in my heart so that I will not sin against thee. So first, read the Word of God. The second thing we're going to talk about today is keep at it. Don't give up. Even if you fall behind, even if you stopped and it's been a while, get right back at it. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, my words, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. What would happen if you planted a seed in your garden and then you dug it up each morning to see if anything was happening? You could plant it, but then you dig it up to see what's going on. Obviously, it would die and it would never produce any fruit. You have to have faith that that seed that's being planted in your heart is beginning to grow and stir in there. You have to have faith that God, that the Word of God, the seed in your heart, is doing what God has created it to do. The Word of God changes and grows us without even knowing it. And some people put God's Word in their hearts for a day or two, but if they don't see fruit immediately, they dig it up. Dig it up. Didn't happen. I prayed that prayer once. I read a verse, I read a chapter, and I don't see any fruit. They dig it up. And the seed, through their words and actions, they wonder why it didn't work. Just like any seed that's planted, if you dig it up, it's not going to do anything. You have to leave it in the ground over time. And you have to continue planting the seed over time. Mark 4:28 says, the earth produces the crops on its own. First, the leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally, the grain ripens. See, many people are impatient, wanting to bypass the growth cycle and get a full crop right now. They want a fast food spirituality. They want results. They want immediate results. They want four steps to success in every level of their life. And sometimes I hear people talking about what they want to do in life and think that what they're believing God for isn't going to happen because they're expecting immediate results. As soon as they step out, they're expecting something to happen immediately. Sometimes that happens, but the majority of time, and most of our experiences, I'm sure you would say it was a process. It was a step of faith, and then another step, and then another step, and it didn't all happen with the first step. You will not get a crop immediately. Growing faith happens in seasons. Now, what do I mean by that? You can cheat or you can manipulate nearly all the systems that men have created. So the legal system sometimes can be beaten, letting the guilty go free. Our educational systems can sometimes be beaten, passing students that haven't really learned the material that they were supposed to learn. But one thing you can't change is you can't change seed time, planting, and harvest. You can't change the seasons. God has control over the seasons. You have no control. There's no way to cheat it. There's seasons of life, and there's seasons and processes that you have to go through. And those are in God's timing, not ours. Rick Warren calls this six phases God uses to grow our faith. Six phases God uses to grow our faith. This is what he says. He says, when you don't understand God's six phases of faith, the steps he uses to build your character, you will get discouraged. You will may become resentful. You will certainly worry, and you may become fearful about the future or get depressed. And most of all, you can't cooperate with what God is doing when you don't understand the process that he's taking you through. But when you understand the six phases of faith, then you can say, oh, okay, well, right now I'm in phase four, or I'm in phase two, or I'm phase one. You understand better what he's doing, and you don't get disheartened when things get tough. Faith is like a muscle. It develops. It can be strengthened or it can be weakened, depending on how much you use it. See, God builds your faith with a very predictable process. If you understand it, you can cooperate with it. I'm not going to go into these heavily, but I do want to mention them because I think it's important to begin to understand what phase of faith you may be in. Six stages of faith. Number one, God gives you a dream for your life. So in other words, God places something in your heart that you know that you have to do. You know that he has called you to do. And you've heard it, and you've made it clear, and it's been confirmed. And now you're looking and say, okay, God, I have this dream, now what? So the first is the dream. These are all D words, by the way. The second, you have to make a decision about it. Do I have to give up something in order to do this dream? Are there going to be some steps I'm going to have to take to achieve that? Am I going to say yes? Am I going to say no? Am I going to go this direction? Am I going to go another direction? There's a decision that has to be made when you have that dream to say, okay, God, I'm with you. Now show me how to go. Show me what to do. So then there's the decision phase, the dream, the decision. Stage three or phase three is delay, where you wait for God to do his work in his time. So you have the dream. You've made the decision, you begin to take some steps forward, and then there's delay. It's not happening as quickly as you want, but God's timing is at work. God's beginning to line up things in your life. God's beginning to do some things in the background that you're not aware of and that you do not see. The fourth stage is difficulty, where God tests you. You have the dream, you've made the decision, you know there's going to be delay, so now you're holding off and you're waiting, but then a difficulty happens. Something happens in your life that tries to knock you off course and keep you from that dream, and pushes you away and knocks you off the track. And that difficulty is where God tests you. Are you going to make it through the fire? Are you going to come through the fire? And then number five, you might reach a dead end, which will make you want to give up. A dead end. Now, you know, last week I spoke about this dead end in a street, in Arizona, where you sometimes are just driving and suddenly a dead end appears. And it means one of two things. Either there is no way that you're going that way, or that dead end is there for the moment, but there's going to be some build-out that's going to happen beyond that road. And you may face a dead end in your life, and it seems like a dead end, because you've had the dream, and you've had a decision, and you've made that decision. You know that there's going to be delay, and you're holding off. But then there's some difficulty, but then that dead end happens, and you're there, and you're looking at the sign that says dead end. And in God's timing, he begins to build. The signs come down. The road starts to get paved, and you begin to walk down that path. You begin to walk down that road once again. So stage five is the dead end stage. But in the end, God always brings you to deliverance. Number six, the final stage. Beginning to look at your life and what God has called you to do and understand which phase that you're in gives you the ability to say, okay, I get it. I'm in the delay phase, Lord. I'm not going to receive a crop right now. I'm planting the seed. You're going to do the work while it's in the ground, but I'm planting the seed and I'm doing some things there to maybe prepare it. But at the end of the day, the Lord's going to bring the increase. So don't lose heart. Keep at it. Don't give up. There are seasons of life. There are seasons of faith. But know that in every season, at some point, harvest time is just around the corner. So read the Word of God. That's the seed of our lives. Don't give up. In whatever season that you're in, continue to press through and see what God is doing there. And number three, don't try to change yourself. Verse 27, night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. Now be sure, there is work required. The farmer will have to do some work to cultivate the soil so that the seed can grow properly and be healthy. But it is God that does the work of transformation. When that seed is planted in the ground, it's God who brings the work of transformation. It takes that from a seed to a healthy and growing plant. And one of the things we know about seeds is they have to die in order to grow. That seed has to die in order to grow. And it's the same in our spiritual lives. When we die to self, when we die to our wants and our needs and our desires, things begin to grow. And multiplication in our life begins to happen. We bear more fruit. The plant is healthy. It's growing. And if each of us grow more fruit, the harvest that we can expect will be larger. The harvest will be larger. So we prepare our hearts to receive God's word. We have a consistent time of reading the Bible. That is the work of the farmer. What do farmers do? I'm not saying everybody has to do this, but what do farmers do? They get up early, don't they? They spend time to do the things that they need to do to get to work for the day. Maybe your devotion time's in the morning. Maybe it's at night. Maybe you don't have one. I want to challenge you to set some time aside every day to spend time in God's Word, whether it's early, whether it's late, whether it's at lunch, whatever works for you, take the time, because that is how your faith is going to grow. Now, when you begin to do that, when you get up at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and you begin to read, is that going to feel very good the first couple of times? Will you see fruit immediately that day? Probably not. Will angels come and appear to your bed, at your bedside, and, oh, it's now time to read God's word? And you wake up and say, amen, brother. I'm going to read God's word right now. Probably not going to happen. Probably not going to happen. Maybe it won't happen. But consistently doing this allows you to continue to plant those seeds in your heart, to plant more and more of God's word in your heart, to bring fruit in the right season. You have to plant the seed if you want to get the fruit. You have to plant God's word in your heart if you want to bear fruit in your life. Let's bring it back to the story that I led with this morning. We know that healthy things grow. And when you're talking about food, of course, junk in usually means junk out. Makes us weak or unhealthy. But what you feed yourself spiritually also matters. The type of seed that you plant also makes a difference. You see, you can't plant an apple seed and expect to get green beans. The type of seed that you plant is what you're going to reap. It's what's going to come up. So if you're planting seeds of doubt in your life, what are you going to get when that plant begins to rise up and produce more of? What are you going to get? More doubt. If you're planting seeds of negativity consistently throughout your life, and the water comes down and that seed begins to sprout, what are you going to get? More negativity. If you're planting seeds of anger, what's the fruit that's going to come from that? More anger. If you're planting seeds of gossip, rebellion, hate, worry, resentment, or fear, what kind of crop are you going to get? More gossip, more rebellion, more hate, more worry, and more fear. You get the idea. We can probably do this all day. But what you plant, you'll reap exponentially. The Bible says that, I think it was even mentioned earlier this morning, you will reap what you sow. This is why it's so important to plant the right seeds from God's Word. The seeds of truth, the seeds of faith, the seeds of love, the seeds of forgiveness, the seeds of the miraculous, and we could go on all day on that one too. But planting the right seeds in your heart is what's going to produce the type of fruit that you want to see in your life. It's how you're going to grow your faith, is by planting the right seeds in your heart. So how do you become healthy and growing? By planting the right seeds, and it all begins right here. You can watch the news and they're going to tell you what they think you should do. You can watch the advertisements and they're going to tell you what they think you should buy. But God's Word tells you who you really are, who you belong to, God's promises for you, the things that He has for you. And that's what we need to be feeding ourselves on every single day, because there's all kinds of other stuff that people are trying to plant in our lives, aren't they? All kinds of other words and negativity that they're trying to plant. We need this to be our guard. You say this, but God's Word says this. As you grow and as you become spiritually healthy, and you take that on and you accept the challenge and say, I'm going to spend time with God every day, then you're going to see the church get healthy. As each of us do that individually, we come together and we're all healthy. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 15 through 16. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. He says, nor do we boast and claim credit for the work someone else has done. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow. Why will your faith grow? So that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. So it's a henna statement in Greek. So that. Why should your faith grow? So that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. Then you will be able to go and preach the good news in other places far beyond you where no one else is working. So Paul has this expectation that as their faith grows, as the church in Corinth, as they continue to grow in their faith and learn to depend on God and not self, that they will actually, the activity among them will grow and the church will grow and their reach will grow and it will extend beyond just their current church, but it will go further. We hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. I'm praying for extended boundaries. Ron talked about the Thrive Conference down the street here at Cape Cod Church. And many of them that were talking about just getting outside of the walls of our church. And I want our boundaries to go much further than 655 Boxberry Hill Road. I want our boundaries to continue to extend into other territories here in Falmouth for people who do not know Jesus Christ and that need to know Him. That takes doing things like an Easter egg hunt. That takes doing things that are community-oriented so that they can see that we are a church that cares about our community, that cares about people, not just about ourselves. And so we take that opportunity to extend. As we continue to grow in our faith, our borders will extend and our reach will extend into our community and our areas. So another way of saying this is if our faith is healthy and growing, there is an expectation that the church will also grow. Why? Because if you're healthy and growing, you'll be reaching others. You will be telling them about what God is doing in your life. They will want to know, and God will open up opportunities for you to share God's grace, love, and forgiveness with others. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. This is Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus. It says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. And here's the part we're going to focus on, a couple parts, but here's one. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. We're growing every day more and more like Christ. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, and as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. Do you know that as you're growing, you should be taking others along with you? As you're growing, there should be others. It says here, it helps the other parts grow. So if you're growing, you're helping other parts grow in their faith as well. You're challenging them. So that the whole body is what? Is healthy. It's important that the body is healthy. It's important that our spiritual lives are healthy. And what's the next thing? And when you're healthy, you are growing. Healthy and growing. If you're growing, it's most likely because you're full of love. Healthy, growing, and full of love. That's what it means when we talk about loving God. And the more we love God, the more we love people, the people that He created. The more we love people, the more we want to serve them. So that we can be healthy, growing, and full of love. As we grow in every way more like Christ, He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, and it helps the other parts grow. So here's my challenge this morning. We know that healthy things grow, and though every one of us know that McDonald's is not good for us, every once in a while, we're hungry. It's the only place open. I don't feel like making things at home. So we walk in with our head down trying to cover ourselves because we just have to have something. And we go to McDonald's. For some. But even though we know it's not good for us, people still eat there anyway, don't they? They know the facts. They've seen studies. People talk about how unhealthy it is all the time. So knowing what to do is not good enough, is it? Just knowing that we shouldn't eat there isn't good enough. But we need to take some intentional steps to grow our faith. You can sense the writer of Hebrews' frustration when he speaks to the church there. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. I didn't put this up in my notes, but I just wanted you to hear this. You see, there's some frustration sometimes when those that should be healthy and growing and full of love are just still not there. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 says, "You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." You can sense the frustration there, can't you? Say, you guys have been Christians for so long. You should be teaching others. But you're still learning the basics. Why is that? Maybe we're not planting enough seed. Maybe we're not spending enough time in God's Word. Enough time seeking Him. So if healthy things grow, how do we grow our faith? First thing, we've already covered it. Read your Bible consistently. I'm going to challenge you. Find a time that works for you and do it every day. If you mess up, it's okay. You miss a day, it's okay. Go back and read it the next day. Don't give up. Continue to read His Word consistently. You'll begin to see some things begin to grow in your life. You have to have that time. You also need to keep at it. Don't give up. Recognize that there are six phases of growing your faith. And you may be in that phase of waiting. You may be in delay right now. Don't give up. God's given you the dream. He's confirmed it. You're in delay. It's okay. Okay, God, whatever you want. Line up the pieces for me in this time of delay. Do everything that you need to do. Whether phase one is dream, decision, delay, difficulty, dead end, or deliverance. Don't try to do it yourself. Allow God to transform your heart as you plant the right seeds of His Word in your life. So what kind of seeds are you planting in your life? If they've been the seeds of negativity or other things, it's time to throw those away. Get rid of them. They're no good. You don't need any more of that. None of us need any more of that, do we? If you want to be healthy, you have to plant the seeds of God's Word in your heart. And when you're healthier, we all become healthier. And healthy things grow. And the church grows. And God is glorified. Because the fruit is coming from His church and from His people. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. You may have come here this morning and maybe you feel a little spiritually unhealthy. Maybe there have been some negative seeds or some different things that you've been planting and you didn't even realize that they were going to come back up and they were going to multiply in your life. They're going to begin to control your life. But maybe you're here this morning and you know that there's a change that has to be made, that those seeds have to be thrown away. You have to get rid of those seeds and stop multiplying those things in your life. The last point that I spoke this morning is that you cannot and will not be able to change yourself. You will need the help of Christ to overcome the bad seed in your life. Jesus Christ died as a sacrifice for our sins so that we can be forgiven and so that we can get a second chance, so that we can have the opportunity to plant the right seed, to produce the right crop, good seed. But He didn't just die on a cross. He rose again to new life so that each one of us can experience new life as well. In fact, Scripture even says that He was the first fruits of the resurrection, going back to fruit. And fruit that's being produced, and seed. And because He was raised to new life, so also can we be raised to new life. Here on this earth, but also into eternity. We can have a new beginning, a new start, a new journey. And you can do that today. It begins with recognizing that we are sinners, and that you're a sinner. We all have sinned. There's no one here in this room that's better than anyone else. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's standard. But today I'm here not because I'm a sinner, but because of a restored relationship with God. Because I've received the forgiveness of Christ. And I took that step many years ago, even at the age of 5. My grandmother prayed a prayer with me to accept Jesus Christ into my life. And though my family situation didn't change, though the abuse didn't stop, or the drug or alcohol use in my family, there was a seed planted right here in this heart that continued to grow. Seeds of God's Word. Philippians 4:13 was the first scripture passage my grandmother taught me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. seeds planted here continue to grow throughout life, even with the battles and the struggles. You can take that first step that I did many years ago today. It's nothing magical. It's planting a seed in your heart even this morning. If you're here this morning and you would say, you know what, I need that seed planted in my life. I need God's forgiveness. I need a new start. I need a new beginning. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand where you are. I'm not going to call you out or make you stand up. I just want to pray with you. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would say that this morning? You can go ahead and put your hand down if you have it up. Is there anyone else this morning that would say the same thing? Thank you for that hand. We're going to pray this as a congregation, again, so that we're not calling anybody out. But I think it's important to re-pray the gospel, to recognize the impact of the gospel in our lives, even today. So if you would repeat after me in prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I have made mistakes. And I want to take the first step towards spiritual health. Please forgive my sins and give me a new start. I want to grow in my faith. I want to be spiritually healthy. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to take that first step today. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. But more importantly, you rose again. So that today, this day, I can be raised to new life. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for praying that prayer. I just want to encourage you this morning to see me right after service, because we have an opportunity for you to be able to continue to grow in your faith. You took a first step. There needs to be a second step. We have this class called New Journey that will help you in your continued growth and give you some easy steps to continue to grow in your faith, which you know it's important not just to take the first step, but the second step. Now this morning, for the rest of us, maybe you've come face to face with the reality that you have not been growing. You've been stagnant. Your faith has stayed just at the level that it is for a while, and you haven't been healthy, and you know this. Or maybe you've been planting seeds unknowingly. You didn't even realize that you've been planting these negative seeds, or seeds of lies, or seeds of anger, seeds of frustration. And now you're beginning to see it come up, and now you're beginning to see what it's produced in you. Today is the day to say no more. It's time to get healthy. It's time to throw away those seeds that I've been planting and plant with God's truth and God's word to change my life, to see new fruit, not bad fruit. Today is the day to commit to that spiritual growth, to say, I'm going to do everything I can to spend time in God's Word daily so that I'm planting the right seeds in my life. And so I'm planting the right seeds in others when I speak words to them. So I'm planting the right seeds in my family and in my home so that I can see God at work in my life, so I can become healthy and grow in my faith. Father, I thank you for each one this morning that may be face to face with that reality. None of us are perfect, and we go through stages and phases and struggles and mountaintops and valleys. But Lord, today I pray that we would commit to your word, to planting your seed in our hearts, your word in our hearts, so that you can continue to grow our faith, so that you would be glorified so we begin to see miracles take place. Because we're growing in our faith toward you. Thank you for each and every person here this morning. I pray that you continue to do your work in our hearts and in our lives. Make us who you would want us to be. Help us to be healthy individually and help us to be healthy as a church, doing things according to your word and making that, Lord God, the foundation of what we do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to ask for... We're going to get ready to close here in just a moment. Maybe Pastor Joe will be available. Is that okay, Pastor Joe? A little bit after service here. If you want specific prayer with him, you know, you're dealing with some things, you're struggling, you need some specific prayer, maybe you need to somehow respond to the message. Maybe you've been challenged. Maybe you're saying, you know what, there's some things, maybe I need somebody to pray with me to give me more strength to step up to that challenge. This one, there's going to be some prayer available, as well as the altar will continue to remain open after service. So what I'm going to ask for you to do is, if you're hanging out and talking, that's great. We encourage that. That's a good thing. We just want to ask you to move to the hallway to do that and continue to keep this altar a place of worship and prayer for those that may want to respond or those that may need prayer and just hands laid on them and prayed over them this morning. So I want to say, God bless you. Let's continue to grow healthy in God's word. Let's continue to see God at work in our lives. And when we come together collectively to see a church that is healthy, growing, and full of love in every area of our lives. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great Sunday. Again, we're going to keep this front as a time of prayer. Please go out and hang out if you're not here at the altar or being prayed for. Thank you.